Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Chris.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches?
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young bros in the schoolyard.
Hey there, Chris.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Crud Pops. So, since we've been on the air last, my dad brought up a couple more nicknames. He didn't think of these nicknames. He just told other stories about people, like a guy named Hazard, a guy named, what else did I have? Rainbow, what was it? We just thought...
Black Ray Ray and White Ray Ray.
Oh, yeah. Black Ray Ray and White Ray Ray. Two different Ray Rays. I feel like there was one more. Hazard? Oh, Mary. A lot of people have names that just repeat.
Yeah.
That's a common nickname theme I found. So, before we get into anything else, Chris, I want you to tell a couple stories. Because I want you to tell me what you thought and what happened the first time you met my dad.
Oh, the very first time... was when I was about 15.
We were in high school.
Yeah, we were in high school, and I came over to your house for the first time.
How long have we known each other? Because we didn't know each other.
We know each other a couple months, maybe. And I went over to your house for the first time, and I don't know what we did. We left the house and went somewhere to the store or something, and we weren't gone for very long. For like, I don't know, not even an hour.
So we came to my house straight from school.
Yeah, straight from school. And we came back, and my backpack was gone, and all my books and stuff were stacked up in a corner in your room, and I couldn't understand what you were trying to pull.
But I was with you the whole time, though.
I didn't understand it.
So what happened?
I forgot about that.
So, I don't know. So you were like, oh, my dad probably was here.
Yeah, well, here's what happened. My dad thought that he took my backpack. He just was going to borrow my backpack. Which, by the way, I wouldn't have given him permission to do, but he just took off with it anyway, which is smart because he didn't wait to ask because I would have said no. So it's smart to just take it. But he didn't realize that your backpack was over there too, so my dad was just wearing your backpack around town.
Thinking it was yours.
Now, I have another quick question. This might be a little awkward in this room because...
I already know what you're going to ask.
How many times do you think you have seen my dad naked?
I've seen your dad naked about as many times as I've seen my dad naked. I've known my dad for 20-some years.
Tell the story about when
the funniest time, I don't even know if your dad remembers.
Well, no.
Because he was half asleep.
Yeah, that's the one I want you to tell.
Was when you went out of town, and your sister was going to be home alone.
So we used to scare my sister.
And you made me and Kyle promise that while you were gone at some point that we'd scare your sister to death.
Because in my mind, I love scaring my sister. That was one of my favorite gags. So...
Because she was going to be in the house alone.
So she was going to be in the house alone, and she knew that my mom was out of town, and she knew I was out of town, so she couldn't suspect me, basically. So I knew it would be extra scary.
We didn't really have a plan. We were just going to somehow get in there and kill the lights. I don't know what we were going to do. We didn't have much of a plan.
You're going to say you're going to kill my sister. Kill your sister.
We planned it by ear. But what we didn't count on is as I crawled through the doggy door in the back door,
right.
I didn't count on your dad to be asleep naked in the kitchen.
Well, he had, first of all, the kitchen is like the old back porch, so it's probably the coolest part of the house. So he had his sleeping bag laid out there because he would have decided to stay over with my sister so she wouldn't be scared. But so you just crawled through the doggy door.
And then your dad woke up because of me being crawling through a doggy door, and I thought he was going to think I was breaking in or something.
This is like 1 in the morning,
right? Yeah, this is in the middle of the night. And I didn't know, and he didn't look like he was all that surprised. he was just waking up, and I didn't know what to say, so I just go, is Danny here? And then he just goes, oh, no, he's camping. And I go, oh, okay, that's right. And I crawled out to the doggy door.
You didn't use the door, you just crawled out. Well, that's kind of funny because that my dad wasn't surprised doesn't surprise me because I've tried to scare my dad my entire life. And no matter how – he goes in the woods a lot and I've randomly – I think you've been with me once where we just came across him in the middle of wilderness basically. And I snuck up and took 15 minutes so I didn't make a noise, and basically snuck up behind him when he thought he was alone in, like, the woods. And I grab him, and he kind of calmly turns over and looks at me and says, oh, hey, son. Didn't see that. It's almost like a character from a movie.
That's good to have that, though.
I guess.
After being a bike messenger for 20 years, not much I got scared me. Plenty when I was on the road, believe me.
So, let's think of some other stories, Chris. What are some old classic stories? Speaking of bike messenger, this is just the most... I feel like everyone listening to this might have already heard this story, but let's tell it anyway. Just get it on the record. So this is when I was, what, 3.5, 4 years old, Dad?
Oh, yeah.
How old was I?
Yeah, you were about... Because Sarah was... Your mom left not long after that, and Sarah was like, I don't know, 1.5, 2 years old, whatever it was.
Okay. So?
And like, your mom sprung it on me that, hey, I got to babysit the kids. And guess what? I had a delivery going up in the mountains above our house.
So this is where we were living in San Francisco, basically.
Yeah, we were living down on Page between Clayton and Cole, I guess, and the delivery was straight up in the mountains from there, and I'm like, how am I going to do my delivery with the kids? And then I remembered you both had Hot Wheels, so.
Wait, not Hot Wheels, Big Wheels.
Oh, yeah, Hot Wheels, Big Wheels. Hot Wheels. They were Hot Wheels that night, though. So I'm like, oh, man, I got a rope. And I tied both the kids one and told you to stay one on one side of me. You were out on the right side toward the traffic, and Sarah was on the left side, sidewalk side. And I had to go all the way up above UC Hospital in the hills to do delivery to one of our clients who's like one of our big clients. And she had a special delivery she needed to be brought to her house that night. So, yeah, okay. It was right near my house, right? So I volunteered for it. No, I didn't know. Or else if I knew I was going to watch the kids, well,
you didn't,
I thought
yeah,
your
you
mom
didn't, you didn't
would
know.
Give me a chance to go up and back real quick.
But she said no.
No, I got to take kids with me. That was it. She had to do her thing. So there we went up the hill, and not long after we got started up the hill, just a little bit, I think, past UC Hospital, we're going along, and I'm sweating and watching.
You're basically dragging us uphill.
Yeah, and the next thing I know, here comes this faggot getting in my face. You shouldn't take those kids like that on the street. My mind was just full of, like, oh, watch out, and look here, look there, keep your eye on the kids. And I had my mind full, and that was the last straw. It was definitely the straw that broke the camel's back, so all I could think was, shut up, faggot. And all the whole way.
So you said that to him?
Yeah.
You turned and said,
looked, shut up, faggot, and headed up the hill. And next thing I knew, Danny's like saying, shut up, faggot. Ah! Shut up, faggot. Ah! So I got, that was pretty cool. I got Danny to keep saying, shut up, faggot, and laugh all the way up the hill to my delivery before he finally quit saying, shut up, faggot, and laughing.
Didn't you say you were worried about me saying it to Mom or something like that? That no. I was going to repeat it?
Probably.
Get you in trouble.
But I figured you wouldn't be saying that anymore by then. I didn't know, but I was like, believe me, I had a full board. It's all I could handle that night.
Christy,
we got her done. I got my delivery done, but the lady wasn't there. I don't know if I was supposed to get it to her before she got there, or I was just supposed to get it to her house for whenever she got there later. But it was an overtime delivery, which is worth a lot more money than a regular delivery.
So. All right.
That's good. Why I wanted to take it, man. I did not expect to have to drag the children along on a delivery like that when they were real little.
So, Chris, do you have any stories about, I mean, not stories, questions about me when I was a kid that you have? Cause if I could sit your mom and dad down, I'd love to, like, I would just love to find out what you were like as a little kid.
I don't think
I would really love to see videos of you as a kid.
I got videos.
Do you really? Yeah. I would love to watch those. I don't think we have any videos of me as a kid.
I bet you were hyper, though. Yeah. You had to have been hyper.
Definitely.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I mean, I assumed I was. My mom said that once I learned to walk, she had to figure out a new way of getting me other than chasing me.
Yep.
How old was I when I learned to talk? How old do most kids learn to talk?
I don't know.
I remember you were probably 9 months old, and there was three boys next door, and I don't remember their names, but the Cassidy was the middle one. And you're asking Tom when you're 9 months old.
Who's Tom?
He was our next-door neighbor. He was a bus driver.
Oh, okay.
Muni bus driver. And he's, looking at you. I remember him raising his eyes, looking at you when you're 9 years old, asking, where's Cassidy?
9 months old.
Nine months old, and I asked him, where's Cassidy? Dang, nine-month-old kid talking in full sentences.
That's really not a full sentence, but...
Yeah. Where is Cassidy? Where's Cassidy?
I added the apostrophe, too. Yeah. I was already doing that. Taking shortcuts.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I remember your mom and I, when we took you to Mendocino, and then we were out on the beach and swimming, and you were going, Gaku! And I was telling Sophia, she was Lynn, and I was telling Lynn, wow, that's what his word for cold is, Gaku. And then... a little later, after I was making a big deal of Gaku's, Danny's word for cold, Danny gets me alone and says, Gaku, Daddy, that's cold. So he was telling me, I was saying the whole thing. I wasn't just saying cold. I was saying, that is cold. I was like, that was one of his first words that I remember Gaku. Him ever saying. I couldn't believe it. He starts speaking
my first,
in sentences
my
before
first
he's
word,
a year old.
My first word was Gaku.
Gaku, which
his
was
first
dashed.
Word was whining about cold, and he still does it.
I know, that's true. I still do nothing but whine about the cold. What about you? Where you were born? I'm a fourth generation San Franciscan, right? Or fifth?
Yeah.
Fourth. You were born in San Francisco, too, right?
Third generation.
Where did you move? How old were you when you moved out of San Francisco?
Okay, well, first off, we moved around the Bay Area, so I'd lived in San Lorenzo and Napa, Hayward, and just in the Bay Area, nine Bay Area counties all around, because my dad worked at one of the Navy bases, Mare Island, and The thing, when I was a little kid, though, I don't know if I ever told you this, but since my dad was a fireman, some criminals find out your dad, my dad was a fireman. They became prowlers, and I used to go to sleep at night, and I'd hear him at my window, and I'd look, I could hear him and see him, and I remember one of the first memories I have is being a little kid and seeing prowlers at my window and being scared shitless.
Why were they at your window? Oh, did you work overnight? Because
they knew my dad worked nights because he was a fireman.
Oh, really?
They were prowlers trying to get in the house and
do
something.
Are you serious?
I remember that. I can still remember that, being a little kid and having these prowlers come
around. When I was a kid, though, to be fair, I would have sworn that there were periods of my life when I was really little that I was sure that ninjas were trying to break into my house. And I thought there was an army of ninjas. And I had it all planned out how I was going to jump out my window and the glass would break and that would scare them, and I was going to run to the neighbor's house to call the cops. And I don't know why I wanted to run to the neighbor's house. We had a phone that worked, but I figured they would have disconnected that phone somehow.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know what I mean? That was really what I thought in my head. I was pretty sure ninjas were they were, and I was always afraid to look at the window too. I could see my reflection in the window, but I was afraid to put my face up close to it because I knew that it was going to just be a face looking right back at me, not my own, a different
face. Yeah, ninja mask,
right? And that's the scariest mask of all.
Well, I had a dream from that. I got there's this dream that haunted me that was about a giant was after me, and I was hiding from the giant, and there was a stairway, and I'd go up the stairway to get away from the giant, and all of a sudden the stairway would all go flat, and I'd start slipping down the hill.
It sounds like a Scooby-Doo
where
episode.
The giant was.
And then Shaggy would be like, "Leg ache crud, let's get out of here." And then you'd be like, "Wow,
I can't do Scooby."
"Leg zoinks, there's a giant at the bottom of these stairs." Deadly accurate. And then there was a scene where you would run by one way in the screen with Scooby, and then the giant would run the other way, and there'd be a bunch of halls, and they'd be playing hippie music in the background. I remember that. I had the same dream. Well, let's tell some other stories.
Hippie background, too. What about, we were talking about the Stones concert.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah. You went to some concert that there was a big fight that broke out at, right? Didn't you say you were at?
Not the Grateful Dead.
Altamont, but I wasn't there. Rita was. Yeah, that was where, but I saw the movie right after it happened. Me and Pocket had a houseboat at Sausalito, and I remember because that night that it was really rough. The wind was blowing against us from the, I guess it was a south wind, and it was blowing against us, and we were heading from where we were in the water to the shore to park the rowboat. And each of us had a oar, and we were like leaning back and heaving and barely making progress against the waves. But we finally got there to the concert and hitchhiked to the city and went and saw the Rolling Stones and do that concert about Altamont, which showed that the Grateful Dead hired the Hell's Angels to be their security. But unfortunately, the Hell's Angels security was a little heavy, and they ended up stabbing the guy, and it showed it on.
Well, wait, Rita was
on
there?
The film. Yeah, Rita made it. She was supposed to pick me up. She never got there.
There was some concert you went to that something broke out. I remember you told us this story a long time ago. Some concert, right, Chris? Am I imagining?
Yeah, I thought it was this one.
Wasn't the Altamont one?
What a! I had a question, Chris. Oh, that's right, Chris. I want to go back to
most concerts I went to were always peaceful. Really.
You seeing my dad naked again? Now this is the most bizarre time. I want you to describe this.
Uh-oh. You want me to go into the scene?
Uh huh. This is now. This was this. Yeah. This was one of you were having an episode. This was when Ursie got lost, and I was living in Sacramento, and Chris and I came home to check up on you, and my mom was out of town. She was in like the Middle East somewhere, doing God knows what. And
Sarah there?
Sarah was not there. Sarah was in college. So you were kind of watching the house.
We shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, we shouldn't have been there. We just happened to go back for some reason.
And then we walked in the door.
We walk in the front door. And
already you could tell that something was up.
Yeah, there was.
The house was disarray.
The house was crazy looking. It was like.
It looked like there'd been a struggle. There was a mattress up against a wall halfway blocking the way into the kitchen.
Yeah, oh, the fridge. This was the weirdest thing.
The fridge was in the center of the kitchen.
You could see the spot where the fridge used to be, but yeah. It wasn't there. It was pulled out, like in the center of the kitchen.
Oh, I was cleaning up.
Yeah, and we found out. Okay, that. But we found all the things out later. But at first, it just looked like a scene from a horror movie.
Together.
Yeah, I was trying
We're
to
trying piece. To wait for the where it was. Where's the body at?
Right. So then, I can't remember, was he there the whole time, or did he come in?
I don't remember when he made his first appearance, but it was naked.
It was hot, and I didn't dare turn on her cooler.
And no one was supposed
you know
to be
how hot it gets
believe
in
me, and not only that, but my mom's house was, whatever, how hot it was outside, you could magnify that plus 10 degrees inside. Somehow it was like a...
Right.
It was always hotter inside, and she got freaked out if the cooler was ever on. She was crazy. Anyway,
that's the thing, exactly.
So,
well, you guys started.
There was newspaper everywhere too. There was newspaper.
Yeah, there was stacks of
everywhere.
Newspapers.
It was weird.
Like Howard Hughes.
And the KNVR was blaring too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is there a game on?
I don't know, but I have no idea. But I remember it was blaring, and that just seems weird because we had this huge record player radio in the living room. And if you're listening to talk radio at, like, this super loud noise, there's something eerie about it. I don't know what it is. It just seemed weird. Anyway.
But anyway, you guys started talking about what was going on, and somewhere we got the impression that Ursie, your dog, was missing.
Right. My dad took her for a walk, and he thought he tied her up somewhere, and then he couldn't remember if she got loose or if he left her tied up.
And we barely got your dad in time because I think he was on his way out to go try and find her.
Right. Naked.
Naked. which he would have got arrested. So you guys started arguing. Well, you were starting to argue with your dad about how he shouldn't go out and go out right now. He should calm down. And he wanted to take the canoe out.
Yeah, that was our plan of action.
Cover more ground if you were in the canoe.
Right, right.
Which is true, but that's assuming that the dog's by the side of the river.
Right, which is a big assumption.
And I think you made that point, too.
I remember this. Oh, I remember that vividly.
And you start arguing about, come on, help me out, help me lift the canoe. And Danny says, no, I don't want to help you lift the canoe. We're not going to lift the canoe. Let's just try to figure this out and think, where were you where you last saw her? Because your dad couldn't remember where the last time you saw her. Ursula. And so he goes, no, we can't talk. We got to move because we're wasting time, you know. We have to get the canoe and get it down to the river. Yeah. And then you, Danny, are refusing to help him carry the canoe. And he's like, oh, that's all right. I can carry it. I got so much adrenaline in me right now. I got superhuman strength.
So then
Danny says, no, you don't have superhuman strength.
And I told him,
you're not leaving, and you're making a stand that you're going to stop him from leaving. And then your dad, he's like, no, let me prove you have superhuman strength. Come on, arm wrestle me right now. I'll show you how strong I am. You don't understand. And so you guys argue for a while about that. And then at one point, I'm watching the whole thing, and I'm standing back watching you guys on the ground try to figure out how to properly put your elbows.
I did, because Ursie was lost, and I was spooked. How to properly... Okay.
You guys, it ended up with you guys arguing about the proper way to arm wrestle. One of you naked, and this is all over about whether one of you has superhuman strength or not to carry a canoe by himself to the river to find a lost dog.
That's when you first met me.
That was years later. Some time. So, but that, yeah.
But it was a
that
bizarre.
Must have been surreal for you.
Yeah, thing to witness.
Because I immediately was in the argument. I wasn't even thinking
about
it.
Yeah, you were fully engaged, too.
I was just thinking, okay, once I beat committed. Him at arm wrestling, then I'm going to show him.
It seemed like it made sense to both of you.
But so anyway, we didn't take the canoe. We drove to the pound, which wasn't that far away. And since Ursie had her tags, she was there, and we got Ursie.
Yeah, that's right.
We should have canoed to the SPCA. That's what.
Well, the SPCA wasn't by the river either.
No. Well, if you canoe all the way around down the river and then hike straight up through the bushes and over the freeway. I know a shortcut.
Yeah, that's another huge portion of my childhood is my dad's shortcut. These were the most...
That aren't short.
There's nothing... The word short should not be involved in them.
The woodsy way.
Yeah, you always said the woodsy way later. Cut. You called it the woodsy way. No,
it's
it was
shortcut for your lungs. You don't have to breathe carbon monoxide.
Man, they were the most unreasonable shortcuts. I can't even tell you, Chris. I could tell you, but they would be too specific because no one that doesn't know the area would understand. But something that would take you 10 minutes to walk literally would take 45 minutes if we took the shortcut or the woodsy way. And I would also end up with lots of scratches all over me, and I'd probably have my shoes wet by the end of it. And I just wanted to go grab a burger somewhere. Meanwhile, I walk in, I have mud all over my shoes, like mosquito bites. Yeah.
Well, in my defense, I gotta tell you that I learned that the human body takes on carbon monoxide. At first, I thought it was just as readily as it does oxygen. Then I found out it takes on carbon monoxide something like 2.5 times more readily than it does oxygen. Now, I'd already been a bike messenger 20 years breathing fumes.
Yeah.
So I could tell when I'd been breathing too much fumes. I'd start seeing spots and stuff, like when I had a concussion.
I'm
breathing too much.
I don't have a problem with you wanting to go the woodsy way. My problem is that you called it a shortcut. That it was the title shortcut that I had a huge problem with. And I remember everywhere, it was like Kramer in the... First of all, my dad reminds me of Kramer from Seinfeld, but it was like when Kramer always knew a guy for something and you knew it was a bad idea. This was like, and no matter what the situation was, Kramer knew a guy for that. That's similar to my dad. My dad always knew someone, oh, I know this guy for that, oh, I know. But also, no matter where you were going, oh, I know a shortcut. And me and my sister, by the time we were like 10, 11 years old, it would be like my sister would scream, no, Dad! Not taking
never her voice. Yeah,
Dad, no!
Never
that.
already.
She was already fit up with my short pants. Yeah.
All right, let's do one more story, and then we'll cut this one off for tonight. Do you remember any good stories, Chris?
Well, what about the one? What about what's the crazy town in California where they have the crazy house?
Oh, it wasn't a crazy house. That's right. You were hitching. You went to Santa Barbara or something, right? Was Edgar Winter involved in this story?
I think he might have showed up at some point.
Didn't? Okay, you went to. I think I kind of remember the story. You saw a guy in a like convertible, and he wanted to drive his car.
He's gonna pay you $100,
or he's gonna pay you
to drive his car.
Right.
Pay you some money to either to drive his car or to drive his van.
What happened was, I was all the way out at Hunter's Point doing a delivery, and it was like, I don't remember if it was a Friday or not, but it was like, it was getting late one night, and I was like, tired, and there was a rope hanging off this rider truck, right? So I like, cool, man, I'm tired, and I grabbed the rope. And the guy saw me, and I look, I hope this guy's cool, man. I need a tow so bad. Coming back from Hunter's Point down 3rd Street all the way to city, it's a pretty long way.
I got to stop you real quick.
He looks, and he lets me hang on. So
that would be so surreal, wouldn't it, Chris? Cool. Like, if you were just driving along, and some guy grabs.
I would let somebody hit
your
ride.
So would I, but, I mean, that would never happen now. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That would be so
awesome.
People
are dicks now.
No one would grab. People would be like, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going. So you grab on.
And I looked at the guy. I hope this guy's cool, man. I'm so tired. And he let me look. He gave me a thumbs up and kept going. And then he had his girlfriend in this rider van with him with his car in the back. And he, gets over the side and signals me. And I go talk to him. He says, how'd you like to drive this thing to Santa Barbara for me, man. I'll give you $90. I got to drive my sports car with my girlfriend back there. I said, sure, man, but we'll have to go to my office, and I'll have to ask my boss if it's okay, you know. So we went to Rocket Delivery Service, and the boss said, okay, he'll let me go to Santa Barbara with the guy. And so I got to drive his rider van to Santa Barbara while him and his girlfriend followed me and in the sports car. And I remember at one point I'm going along and some fool all of a sudden pulls right in front of me, and here's this traffic, and I'm like, uh-oh. And I go, okay, this guy's I read what he was going to do. I go, he's just going to try to get by me real quick, so I just have to tap the brakes, because he had his stuff all loaded carefully, and I couldn't be braking hard or everything mirrors whatever we're going to break. So I just tapped the brakes lightly, held on, let the guy go by, and he kept going. So when the guy gave me the $90, he gave me a $10 tip, gave me $100 for driving carefully and avoiding an accident when the fool went in front of me like that. That was cool. But unfortunately, didn't get a ride all the way to the city that night. And I had to spend the night all the way up to Santa Barbara because I took him. I guess I must have took him to L.A. I think Santa Barbara's above L.A.
Right.
And took him to where he wanted to go. And then I didn't get a ride far out of there. And I ended up in Santa Barbara that night. And I still remember. I'm like, okay, well, what'll I do? Maybe I'll meet somebody in a bar who's going my way. And I'm like, that's crazy. I'll never do that. And then I remember asking everybody in the bar, does something stink? Can you smell something? Does something stink? And then I realized, man, the pollution moved all the way up to Santa Barbara because the air quality was a lot worse back then. It was before they got their quality control more enforced as well as they do nowadays. And I'll never forget that. I was running around asking her, you smell something?
They probably thought you're setting them up for something.
Crazy. Hard joke.
But then I go, I can't get a ride out of here. So I remember I went up to Atascadero, and I knew I'd heard they had a place for criminally insane people there, and nobody was giving me a ride. I'm gonna forget about it, man. The way I look, I slept on the side of the road. I didn't even take a shower after I worked all day yesterday. You know, I think I probably had a Interstellar propeller hat.
Yeah, my dad. Here's another thing. My dad used to wear this hat.
When I was this.
Half 49ers.
It was 49ers.
It was half 49ers, half Giants. Didn't you have a half one, half half? I remember you had a half hat.
Yeah, I might have.
You had one that went both ways.
Yeah.
There was like, it had a 49ers in front and then a Giants in back or vice versa.
I forgot about
it. I remember this hat. And he used to go to this guy who would put propellers on his hat, because when he would ride his bike, the propeller would just spin like crazy.
Yeah, special made propellers.
Yes. What was this propeller place called, Dad?
Interstellar Propeller Hat Company. Woolsey in California, the Berkeley Hog Farm.
There you go. You got a free plug in.
Stacy.
So anyway, you had your propeller hat on, you hadn't slept all night, long hair, looked like a hippie, dirty hippie.
Yeah.
And you're trying to hitchhike. And where were you?
At Tascadero, which houses, I guess it's kind of sort of like half a mental hospital and half a jail kind of a place. And so I realized, wow, man, I'll never get out of here. And by the grace of God, I went to the Greyhound just before the bus came. But then when I get on the bus, here comes this guy. Oh, no, it wasn't there. It was another penitentiary up the road at San Luis Obispo, I think it was. And this guy gets out. He just got out, right? He just got out of jail.
Uh-huh.
And so what does he do? He gets a case of a beer, two or 12-pack of beer, and starts passing it around on the back seat of the bus, and like we're all back there, you know, it's party time, right? Well, I'm watching the bus driver, and I see the bus driver, and I'm like, hey, man, the bus driver's starting to notice what's going on back here.
Right.
Got to keep it cool, man. But the guy was so happy to be free from the penitentiary, I guess, or wherever he was at, and that he, like, was oblivious, and the next thing I know, man, we got up somewhere else, not far away, and he got led off the bus with handcuffs behind his back. And the guy was out just long enough to get drunk and go right back.
The bus driver called the cops or something?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
That was so sad. I'll never forget that
part. I think you've skipped over the part of the story we wanted to hear, though, was that you basically looked up when you were hitchhiking originally and saw a sign that said, do not pick up hitchhikers, prison for criminally insane or something like that. I've seen these signs, too.
Yeah.
Somewhere on the 5 or somewhere along there, just in the stretch in the middle of nowhere.
Whatever it was, I knew it wasn't a good idea, and by the grace of God, like I say, I did get a ride near where there was... Somebody gave me a ride to where there was a Greyhound, and I got there just before the Greyhound bus took me all the way to the city.
Okay.
But I had to see that poor guy go through that thing, get out of a penitentiary, and go right back for drinking.
That's no good.
That was so crazy.
I bet he's still telling that story, too.
All right, well, we're running long anyway. We're over half an hour, so... I'm gonna go play basketball. What are you gonna do, Chris?
I don't know. I thought I could play with
you. Yeah, you can play.
You gonna shoot hoops?
Yeah. Let's go shoot hoops at Jackie Robinson Park.
They have it all lit up?
Yes, sir.